Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. We're living in wonderful times. It's different than the past 2,000 years. When Jesus came the first time, he died on the cross for our sins. That's whosoever believes that he's the Son of God and accepts his work on the cross, because he paid the price for your sin by climbing up on that cross and dying. And he rose the third day. This is the basic foundation for Christianity, is that Christians or people come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior by a means that they are drawn by the Holy Spirit. If you're finding yourself curious about Jesus and wanting to know more about him, in who is he, why he came, and what's Christianity and all this kind of stuff, you might be being drawn by the Holy Spirit to find out about Jesus Christ, where you can believe in him, that he is the Son of God, and that the Bible is God's Word. Now, this Bible term that I just used is very significant for today, because whenever I want to talk about the Bible, I just can't say, read the Bible, because the likelihood of you going and picking up a modern version of the Bible is pretty good. The likelihood of you going to any church to worship is pretty good that you will be using a modern version, or the pastor will be preaching using references from modern version Bibles. Well, modern version Bibles, I have a word I call it, or a couple of words. I call it counterfeit Bibles, Satan counterfeit Bibles. Because when you look into modern versions and you get past this thing that you see in the preface of the Bible, and you get past to what your pastors might tell you, and you actually do a little bit of research yourself, there's two names that you can find out what is the story behind Bibles. We don't have to sit here and say, well, the Bible is the New Testament is 2,000 years old, and the Old Testament goes back another few thousand years. So, and modern translations, you might think it's just, you're looking at the Bible from this view, then you just kind of walk over here and you look at it from this view, then you kind of look from this view, and then, or you look like this view. You're just getting into different perspectives, so then you could gather together your thoughts to present what you are trying to say. Well, unfortunately, modern translations are not this naive. They're not this simple. They're not another kind of way, and so basically, is the gospel or is the Bible, but just in a language or a style of English you could better understand. And so it doesn't make a lot of difference what modern version you use, because it's still going to be the Bible. People, it's not the Bible. Modern versions are not the Bible. They are a deception of Satan. Now, Bible translators, as well as they are trying or believing they're doing and transferring from a version to a modern version, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose. It seems like you have to be doing it on purpose. So that means the people that are leading translator groups have got to know that they are using a corrupt version. Because it's just that obvious. It should have been obvious for a very long time. Because in 1880, Wes Cotton Hort translated the Bible into a modern English-style Bible. And they were influential enough, one being on the board, to revise the Bible, had gotten the entire Bible, their translation, to become the Church of England Bible. And the Church of England Bible in 1901 came out with its first modern version. It's technically not really a true, as it were, modern version, more than it was a, I don't know what you want, an enhancement of the official Church of England Bible. In 1946, this is when the true modern versions started to manifest. They use the Church of England Bible. People, if you're not listening to me and you want to play the game that Satan isn't just some wimp out there and isn't going to really mess with your faith, go ahead, believe modern versions are just as much the Word of God as the King James Version. But I'm telling you, take the time to look up two people. Just write in your web browser, Westcott and Hort. And then begin reading the links that you see. You have a long time to read if you want to read them all, because there's tens of thousands of links, if not hundreds of thousands of links, for Westcott and Hort. And you will immediately get the idea that these were not the perfect Christians you might wish that they were. And they certainly did not use the original manuscripts. And of course, we all know that one of the things that are a fact, that the originals are gone. No, if any of them exist, nobody knows where they are. They're not telling anybody. Now, there are the copies, the original copies, and they're handwritten, of the originals. We have. And these are called the received text. And this was translated to Latin Vulgate in the 2nd century. Now Satan also got his people together to write a corrupt version of the very same books. And these corrupt versions of the very same books were also in that 2nd century translated to Latin Vulgate. Now, so you have two manuscripts, both translated to Latin Vulgate. The received text, which is basically the Word of God, because it's copied from the originals, word for word, exact, styles, everything. This continued to be used clear up until King James' day, while the corrupt version was not used. It was sort of lost. And in the 15th century, the Catholic Church discovered them. And being ancient and being many other things, and also in the New World Order facts, what's going on behind the scenes, what you don't want to do, but who cares? They ordered it, but whether they ordered it or not isn't important. What matters is the Vatican made it official, this corrupt version, to be their official Bible. So in the 15th century, Catholics had only access to a corrupt version of the Bible. And it wasn't until 1880s that Westcott and Hort, what they did was take that corrupt Latin Vulgate, translate it into a odd Greek, then translated it back into English, and because of their influence, got it to become 100% in its entirety to be the Church of England Bible. Now, these two men were worse than just getting the corrupt version to be the official Bible. You see, these two people also hated what lots of us Christians like to say, true believers. You know, every Christian's going to say they're a true believer, but you know us in like the Assembly of God will say, we're true believers. And the Baptists over there are going to say, we're true believers. And so forth, all denominations are pretty much going to believe they're the true believers. And they're also going to know that there's the others that aren't the true believers. That, so we got the us-they thing, and they're not necessarily saying the other denominations are not true believers, but somehow or another we got this concept that there's the ones that aren't true believers and the ones that are true believers. So what if you could stir this up and come up to some idea in your head what true believers are? Westcott and Hort hated these people. They hated the King James Version. This was an era of great increase in science, and the colleges and universities were teaching all kinds of stuff that young folk would say, how could the Bible be true? It is as though proving the Bible to be false. So they didn't particularly like the true believer thing. There was a phase going on in Christianity that the young folk were turning away because science was showing the Bible can't be true. And so the times were right in Westcott and Hort's days to get this corrupt version into the hands of everybody and to begin to develop a Christianity as it was, so that it could be a more acceptable to the many people that are now beginning to believe that, according to King James Version, the Bible can't really be the Word of God, or maybe God doesn't exist because science has proven them all wrong. This was a complex period of time that now, today, we just like to say modern versions are just another way to read the Holy Word of God. Modern versions is a trick of Satan to get you conditioned. It's hard to tell by reading modern versions that it is a corrupt version, though there are 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions in modern version. The design of modern versions is to take Christ out of Jesus and do some other things so that when the last days come, see, the modern versions are only good in the last days. Otherwise, Satan wasted his time. Modern versions are good enough to get you saved, and when you die, you go to heaven. But there's a feature about today that the past 2,000 years never had. And that is, see, a lot of us are going to be alive, and we get raptured. It never happened before this kind of way. So we're living in a time when you need to have some kind of more readiness, as it were, a more kind of attitude about certain things, a more kind of love. You're a different kind of Christians. Today, you're the last days Christian. Corrupt version Bible works on you because it's going to condition you to be less able to have a concrete form of making Jesus the Christ. When push comes to shove, and you have these great deceptions coming at you that are showing you such immense facts, and you try to run back to the modern versions to try to correlate that maybe, you know, these can't be right, but you find out that Antichrist is beginning to look like Jesus. Now, you're not going to say Antichrist looks like Jesus. You're going to probably do something like this. You might not think it now. I'm trying to tell you what's going to happen. These deceptions are something to play with. Modern versions is just not a different view of the Bible. They're a distinct device to prepare you to look at the conditions of the world and begin to see things develop and to then make it you believing this person looks like Jesus. And your concept wouldn't be, oh, this is Antichrist. Your concept would be, he's Jesus. You might think this is impossible. Well, why don't you read? It should make you sick to your stomach when you find out that you've been reading modern versions and they're a deception of Satan. It should make you sicker to know that now when you go to church, what are you going to hear the pastor say? Even in my church, they're using modern versions. I can't believe it. As, you know, there was a sort of a joking thing. Of course, they didn't believe it, but they always said Jesus spoke King James English. So, of course, King James is the Word of God. You know, the meaning is, this is the Bible to use. The problem is, even in churches that so dearly love the King James Version, are now using modern versions. My church background, Assembly of God, you go to their statement of faith and you look at there, and they have two Bibles they use to go into more detail by explaining which verses represents their statement of faith. And you will see they have, you could click on the King James, but you can also click on the NIV. And NIV is about as worse as you can get in modern translations. And the irony of it, the NIV's copyright now belongs to Hustler magazine. So, go figure. But anyway, we're living in the last days, and you need to start figuring things out. And I'd sort of like to start in a process of talking to you here in Seattle about, If you're a gay person, want to get involved. If you're a straight person, want to get involved. I am developing my website a little bit more to be a world outreach kind of thing into working with this new era of time period, which we are the last days Christians. Something has to be a movement, as it were, not necessarily a literal movement, because see, all these words kind of mess with you and you won't have a perception of what these things mean. This is a new kind of a thing. It's not new in changing the Bible or any verse in it or any concept of God or anything kind of deal, you know. This is not anything of what, I am not about changing the Bible or God or Jesus. What I am about is explaining some things so you can make a decision on what you're going to do with it. If modern versions truly are Satan counterfeit Bibles, why are you reading them? If your pastor is using modern versions, why aren't you, if you like the church style already, why don't you get to them and say, come on now, tell me why you're using modern versions. Tell us about Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort are real people. I don't understand this. Westcott and Hort are real people. In the 1980s, they got the modern versions for you. It's quiet out there in the church. They just pick up the modern version and read it. And you probably heard them say, well, look, the preface, the people that did the trailer, oh, they were so nice. Oh, isn't that nice? The people that want you to read their Bible want to tell you how good they were at making the Bible so you can buy their Bible, right? People, why don't you do your homework? Find out where your Bibles come from. Thanks to the internet, we can access all knowledge at your fingertips. Yes, some won't be correct. But people, site after site after site in the hundreds of thousands, when the basic theme is Westcott and Hort counterfeited the Bible into your hands. Well, they didn't counterfeit it. They just translated the counterfeit. They got it in your hands. And they're so evil. They're more than just got modern versions in your hands. They got the elite secret ghost club. You have to be a member of this club that they invented and created in the 18th century, in the 1800s, 1880s, where that if you're going to be part of Antichrist's kingdom, in other words, the New World Order elite, the ones that are running the world, if you want this kind of thing, you have to be a member of Westcott and Hort's club. And these are the people that put your modern word in your hands. I mean, I'm passionate about this thing. I really want you to understand that you got the real Bible in your hand. You know, ye's and thus's and cometh and goeth and all this style of King James English. If you, after you read it a while, you get used to it if you don't like it. People don't turn from the King James Version. And you see my website up on the screen. I have been working really hard on it lately. to revamp it, trying to get it oriented into reaching out in a sort of a new kind of ministry, which will address these issues about the deceptions of the modern versions and the churches and the Antichrist movement, as it were, the elite people that are actually forming Antichrist kingdom. We're in the last days. You better believe that there's a mechanism behind here, and they want to do something about it. And they're not particularly partial to Christians. And people, what's more, is you're going to go through a little bit of the thrill. Part of the deceptions is to get you to think you're going to miss the trib entirely. You just cannot find any Bible to address the point that you're going to miss any of the trib. It specifically is telling you, the church has to be shaken for 1,260 days. One of the things the two witnesses are going to do is have a message to the church that's going to shake them like spanking them for 1,260 days. One way or another, your attitude's got to change. And during this time, this thing we always hear, the great falling away, isn't you pastors sitting there and looking, your church, some of the people are disappearing, and you have less, this is not the great falling away. The great falling away will be in half your church disappears in 1 week. Or better, or something. It's going to be noticeable. And they're not leaving your church by, as you might think, leaving God. People are looking for the truth. They came to Jesus because they seek the truth. And if you don't have the truth, if you are presenting deceptions, if you're using modern versions and corrupting the minds of Christians in such a subtle way that when the deception hits them, they're toast. You're full. For hook, line, and sinkers for the deception. Pastors, your job to get ready. Because one thing's for sure, when this new types of messengers go forth, when this ministry begins to develop, they're going to bring in large numbers of newborns, and they need a home. And they're going to swamp your churches. You're going to be ready for them with a message that is right on for today? And not feeding them deceptions? Come join me, people. Click on my website and find out, put your input in. It's a new thing here. We need to develop a way which we could reach out and develop a ministry style, as it were, so that we could do something that the churches are not doing today. There's two kinds of things that the churches do today. When they're preaching against anything sin, they say abortion and homosexuality is almost like there's no other sin that is worth talking about in the church. Yeah, they talk about a lot of things. But if you're going to go by what news station is, click, flip the channels and all that, hear all the news stations, and go anywhere you want and listen to in-depth reviews of them, you will find out there's only two things that get spoken out to the world, and that is homosexuality is sin and abortion is sin. You don't get any other kind of message publicly. Anyway, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. Now read the King James Version of the Bible. Come visit my website. The phone number up there is a comment line only. Correspondence is through email. Thank you. Bye-bye.